God's word to us this morning. As a church, we have started to go through some of Jesus' miracles that he performed, that we read about in John's Gospel. There in John's Gospel, it's described as sign miracles, signs pointing to Jesus' identity, telling us who he is. And we've been looking at them. And today we arrive at the feeding of the 5,000, which we're going to look at, but also dip in to a few verses that follow as I kind of explain what's been going on as well. So let's read the Word of God together, reading from John chapter 6, verse 1 through to verse 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all that they had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that they are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountainside, to a mountain by himself. We've got some verses to dip into later on as Jesus explains this miracle. Have you ever felt really, really hungry? Have you ever been in the midst of a large group of people also very, very hungry? I can say that I have, and it was all my fault. Well, actually, it was Hazel's fault, but she would absolutely kill me if I said that, but it's too late now. I've already said that. So I was going to say, I'll take the blame, but I haven't taken the blame, have I? But I will. Hazel and I got married in 2003 at church at the end of her road on the Wirral. There's a picture here. There was a big do. I'm hoping that there's a picture there of myself and Hazel just outside the church. There we are. There was a big do afterwards with Uncle Tom Cobley and all, with a meal and then a sort of buffet and disco at the very nice Craxton Wood McDonald's Hotel, also on the Wirral, half an hour drive from the church. That's the Craxton Wood McDonald's Hotel, not the McDonald's on the M53. The church service was at 1, and we were due to sit down at 4 p.m. after photos on the lawn of the hotel. However, little did everyone kind of know that we were invited, that Hayes and I kind of took a detour on the way, really, to the hotel to have some extra photos. And we did that kind of walking on one of the beautiful beaches that the Wirral has to offer. And there we are, on the rocks. That's what we wanted to do. We had a great time. The sun was shining. We got some cracking photos. Meanwhile, back at the hotel, the kind of time was getting on, and folk were getting very, very hungry. Well, we were having such a nice time that time moved on. But by the time we got to the hotel and we did the photos there as well and went through the kind of customary line out that also seemed to go on and on and on, that when we finally got introduced for the first time as please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd Williams, I looked at everyone and it was like they're all sitting there with knives and forks in their hands and they were going to kill me. And they were very, very hungry indeed. Time was getting on, and the multitudes were very hungry. Their feeding, thankfully, was very straightforward. Not so the feeding of the 5,000. That was far less straightforward. A miracle was needed to feed them. We learn from the other Gospels that the 12 disciples, they had just returned from a successful mission. And so, tired from ministry, Jesus took them on a boat for a little bit of R&R on the east side of the lake, a solitary place on the mountainside. And I think we've got another picture as well as the actual location by the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. But the crowds had anticipated all of this. And so when the boat carrying them pulls into the shore, a huge crowd is awaiting them. And so further ministry for Jesus. Thank you, Vernon. But there's a problem. Here on this mountainside, this very isolated location, there's no homes, there's no shops, there's no Tesco's 24 hour. How can such a large and hungry crowd be fed? And so Jesus does something. He turns to Philip and he asks a question. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Why he asks Philip, we're not completely sure. Jesus' disciples all had very unique personalities. Peter, of course, we know, we've been thinking about this series. Peter had foot and mouth disease. James and John were ambitious and fiery, and so Jesus calls them actually sons of thunder, and that's one of the reasons why he says that. But Philip is more quiet, perhaps deeper, perhaps someone who hangs around a little bit more in the background. But later on, he is someone who becomes a great evangelist. An incredible, powerful preacher, used amazingly in God's service. Maybe Philip had to learn a lesson, a valuable lesson from this test. It does say that this is a test. Jesus was always testing and training his disciples. And anyone will grow in faith through times of testing and times of training. Whatever the reason, Philip clearly has got some learning to do as he answers Jesus' question, leaving no room for faith whatsoever. In one translation it says 200 denarii, but it doesn't mention it there. It just says 8 months' wages would not be enough bread for each one to have a bite. In other words, it's impossible. We don't have the money. And so it is, humanly speaking, impossible then. But Philip's failed to factor one thing in, or rather factor one person in, and that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how often can we look at situations and the issues in our lives and immediately become overwhelmed and begin to speak and make choices that leave no room for faith? And what might Jesus want to do? How easy, in perhaps light of provision that's needed or a church ministry opportunity that could affect thousands, how often we speak like Philip and say, there's no money. Now all the sign miracles in John's gospel, that they are pointing to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And as he is the Son of God, he is able to do, and it says this in Ephesians, able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. And yet we don't ask. We don't even imagine. And yet, as the verse in Ephesians chapter 3 says we have the very power of God. The Christian has the very power of God living in and through their lives. The very power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, living and indwelling and living through their lives. Back to the mountainside in Galilee, Andrew turns up with a boy. And this boy has 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And it's not that nothing is available. There's something, but it's just so very little. But then Jesus has already proved that he just loves to do amazing things in little things. He loves to do incredible things through the ordinary things. And we know that because he's just turned an ordinary water into the finest of wines. And in a very simple way, Jesus then proceeds to give thanks for the bread and the fish, and they are distributed. And they ate, and the baskets are sent out, and they are brought back, and nothing is wasted. And all sorts of theories are advanced as to explain how this happens. They're very interesting indeed. You know, did Jesus place all the fish and bread in the basket and send the disciples out and with the little mounts almost in those baskets? And then what happened? Did it kind of multiply as the baskets went out? Did he there and then kind of, did it all happen in a huge quantity and then it's kind of sent out with sort of Jesus and the disciples shoveling things into baskets? It's quite interesting. But don't let your mind wander too far for too long, because the real question is not how this is done. The real question is who can do this? Because 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish cannot feed 5,000 people, let alone with 12 baskets. But when you factor in the power of the Son of God, then of course anything is possible. Personally speaking, I cannot understand people who say that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet they find miracles hard to believe. Once you believe he is the Son of God, then anything is impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. God the Son. That's him. What about me? What about you? Because what's going on here in these verses is a very good model for prayer as a Christian, a model for dependence upon Jesus Christ in our Christian daily lives. Whether in light of the very ordinary and the mundane or the bigger issues that get bigger and bigger and bigger until they feel just like they're impossible to solve or sort out in the midst of our own resources. Because God leads us into situations that we might depend upon him, and that as we do, that his Son would be glorified. And so we come to Jesus every day, do we not? And we say, Jesus, like this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I have very little. But I need you here. This is in front of me today. This is in front of me this week. I need you to provide or multiply or guide or work out or just bless. But I know those verses in Ephesians 3 now, because Andy told me on Sunday morning, I know that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to your power that's at work within me. And so I can't do this, Lord. But I know that if you choose, you can. And he does this time and time and time again. I prayed this prayer over this sermon this morning. I prayed, Lord, I know that I am just an ordinary bloke. And what I have for 20 minutes seems very ordinary. It seems very little. But I give it to you, Lord, because I know that you want to bless it. And I know that you want to feed the multitudes. And he does. And he will. And on many Sundays, I pray this prayer at 10:25 in the morning. 10:25, 25 past 10. The service starts at 10:30. 10:25, there I am at the front of this room. And there's one or two people sat in front of me. Normally it's Elsie and Ruth, maybe one or two others. And there are other people milling around. We've got Sue and Vernon there on the sound desk, and Pat as well, the people perhaps at the back doing teas and coffees. But sat in front of me, one or two people at 25 past 10. And I say a prayer under my breath. First I start to think like Philip. And I think all worldly and financially and paying the bills. And I start to think my P45 on Monday morning. That's what I start to think about. And then I kind of correct my thinking and I pray this prayer under my breath. I say, Lord, you've got to do something here. We are so very little. And I perhaps go over and wander over to the corner there and we look at what we're going to do. We've got the notices and we come back and 70-odd people sat in front of me. He does it time and time and time again. He's done it this morning. And you can pray a similar prayer too. It was mentioned already this morning, we've got this opportunity as a church to bring to life the Truth of Christmas story through our annual production that's on the 15th of December. No training necessary. No words to be spoken, perhaps a few meetings, yeah, to gather people together, to work out how we're going to do this, and have a few practices, but I know that there will be people sat here feeling a little bit daunted by that. Many people thinking, really, I won't stick my name forward this year to jump on the stage for a minute or two. I won't do that because I just don't think that I've got anything to offer. But you know what? That is the very place that Jesus wants us. He doesn't want a whole bunch of people from Brixworth Communities Church kind of striding onto the stage in their own strength. He wants us dependent upon Him. Because when we are weak, He is strong. It's not about ability, it's about availability. And like the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we just need to bring the very little that we have. And I can assure you, every single one of us, including myself, we all have very little. And we just bring the very little that we have and we just make it available to Him. And He will bless us how He sees fit. Remember, it's His desire to feed the multitudes out there. Feed them with the very little that we have. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But what of its meaning? Meaning, the more meaning really that Jesus fleshes out a little bit later on after He walks on water. Well, it must be true that we're coming closer to a general election. A general election. Brexit or no Brexit. Deal or no deal. As we saw yesterday. The government can't continue to operate long term without a majority in the House of Commons. So a general election appears at least inevitable. And when this happens, we know what's coming. For the parties and the leaders, they will do what they normally do to win their votes. They'll go around the country and they'll make their promises. They'll produce their manifestos and make their pledges. But there will be very little in the small print, very little of the cost involved to please the people. Very little of the cost involved to please the people and make it all happen. Why would they? There's popularity to be gained. There's an election to be won. And I say this because Jesus explains the miracle. When he does that, he's certainly not casting for votes. He is not trying to win a popularity contest. He is not trying to win a political contest here. It says in verse 14, Jesus, knowing that they intended to make Him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by Himself. He's not exactly waving to the crowds on an open-top bus. But when the crowds caught back up with Him after He walks on water, Jesus says to them some very challenging truths that would also have not won Him votes in Parliament. Look at verse 26. Again, thank you, Sue. I tell you the truth, he says, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you.
Now, I'll get to why these words were so unpopular very shortly, but encouragingly, and I say encouragingly for someone here who perhaps hasn't made Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, encouragingly, Jesus fed them, and that was the sign pointing to his identity as the Son of God. And as the Son, really, he's able to fulfil them in a much deeper, a much lasting way. And this deeper, this lasting way is that he is able to forgive them and bring them into a relationship with God forever. And he can do that for any of us if he hasn't already today. That would be his desire. But the crowd were hungry physically, and they must have been so hungry spiritually. Do you feel those hunger pangs too? Or perhaps you arrive at church today and there's something missing in your life. Well, without a relationship with God through Jesus, there always will be, because God has made us all, if you want to put it that way, with a kind of Jesus-shaped hole in our hearts and our lives. And only he, Jesus, can fill it. And fill it he will when we turn away from our own life and the life we want to kind of live by ourselves, that life of sin, and we turn towards Jesus Christ in faith. And he fills us, the Bible says, fills us with the Spirit of God and fulfills us as God's people. And it's why so testimonies, including my own, will say that before following Jesus, I would say there was something missing. But afterwards, there wasn't. And there isn't. And it's why Jesus says those most famous words, "I have come to bring life in all its fullness." It's why Jesus says, thank you, Sue, in verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Which, of course, is a wonderful truth. But here are those challenges that I promised you. Bread was the staple diet of the poor in those days. And so you could be sure that without bread for the poor for a long period of time, they would die. They would die of starvation. And it's saying this, Jesus is saying this, is without me, and we will die spiritually. Meaning that when we breathe our last, we will become separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. Of course, Jesus doesn't want that. There's a challenge for someone who has yet to place their trust in Jesus Christ. But if you have, then already there's another challenge. Because it's interesting that this is the moment in Jesus' ministry that literally, thousands, once impressed by Jesus after being fed by him, turn their back on him and they walk away. Because Jesus is the bread of life for eternal life, not bread for the bellies. And they could hear this message loud and clear. Cast iron guarantee, a spiritual feeling that comes from trusting in Jesus, but no guarantee that their physical bellies would always be full. No guarantee of food or any other physical blessing for that matter. And the crowd at the end of the chapter, we can read it actually, Sue. I think there's one more verse as well. The crowd at the end of chapter, they say this. They say, "This is too hard." And they disappear, leaving 12 disciples, one of which will betray him. But Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, thank you, Sue. Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, "Well, what about you? Do you want to leave me also?" And through his word today, through me as God's servant today, the word of God to Brixworth Community Church, it says the same. It says there's no guarantee of food or any other physical or financial blessing. But do you want to leave also? Because many do. Many do, but for the hundreds that enter the door of a church and hear the good news of Jesus, most leave after having their fill. More interested in miracles and physical and temporal, less on the spiritual and the eternal, and wanting the benefits, but are not prepared to count the cost and pay the price. And so they follow for a time, perhaps after some physical or financial blessing in some way, but eventually they fall away. Will that be me? Will that be you? It reminds me of the need to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Speaking out the encouragements of the blessings, but not hiding the warnings and the costs and the difficult things too, like Jesus does here. But it's saying this, it's saying, yes, we come to Jesus with the little that we have. Every day, this is a model for our prayer, I said it earlier, we come to him and say, Lord, like this little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but believing, yes, that he is able to do what it says in Ephesians 3, that he is able to do immeasurably more than he can ask or imagine according to his power at work with us, because nothing is impossible with God. But also accept him, that he may work in other ways too, powerful ways, but more invisible ways, perhaps silent ways. May not give us the physical blessings that we seek for his own good reasons. Remember bread of life. But that's the bread for eternal life, not bread for the bellies or any other physical blessing. And knowing that, who are we amongst this morning on this day? Are we in the crowd that leaves Jesus and they drift away from him? Or are we among the few who stay and remain and follow? Amen.